Inviting me here on behalf of the 28 churches of MCBC. Hi. I like that you guys have fans here. That's good. And I didn't bring my skateboard, so next time I preach, I'll bring my skateboard and we can do some skateboarding. I like that. Is that regular here or? Wow, I'm impressed. I have to write about this in the next MCBC Connect, right? Another thing I like, you have to know that Living Hope, you have the best bass bins in MCBC, right there. That's probably thanks to Richard. Yeah, you guys got the bass, you got the groove going, so that's good. And another thing I think about when I think about Living Hope is I saw the pictures and some of the footage of Bob Bear when he was ordained. Some of you guys remember those pictures? That was hilarious. Like, you guys certainly know how to celebrate, and joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, so that's exciting. It's exciting to hear what's going on in the church, so thank you for having me. I am happily married to Deborah. There's a picture of her. And I think we're, 24 years as of tomorrow. Isn't that exciting? And then one of our daughters goes to school at University of Victoria, and our other daughter goes to school at Hillsong College in Australia. We just said bye to her. So we're a little sad, but that's okay. Deborah is a counselor. We were up north the last 2 years, 20-hour drive from here, 2 hours northwest of Terrace. Deborah was a counselor in a First Nations village, and of course I was there too. And she just finished her contract in April. So the last 4 months, we have been driving around, and we have decided that we're not going to even live in a house. And so we've just been staying with friends and neighbors and relatives and couch surfing. And the next 4 months, we actually, yesterday, we moved, and now we're house sitting for 4 months. We just refuse to settle down. Our kids are frustrated with us, but that's what's going to happen. You know, you can finally be rebellious to your kids when you get older, right? It's the funnest thing. So I work with MCBC, so there's Gary, there's Jeanette. We have lots of fun together. And what else do we have? Oh, yeah, in your inserts, you'll see that there's some prayer forms for you. And if you look on the other side, you'll see there's some more prayer forms for you. Can you bring those home and continue to pray for Mennonite Church, British Columbia? Well, let's move toward. And I also want to say thank you, too, for your support of MCBC and the support of all the ministries of Mennonite Church, British Columbia. Moving to our verses this morning. Of course, this is Peter. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. And go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, crying out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Don't you love that story? When I was a youngster, we were on holidays in California, and we were in this little pool, and I was on the shallow end, and then I slowly made my way deeper and deeper. I couldn't swim until the water was above me, and I was drowning, but I kept walking, and then I felt my dad's hairy legs. I know, as a young, and then my dad pulled me up, and he rescued me from drowning. And this is kind of the story that's going to happen here next. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out to the Lord, "Save me. Save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, notice it was Peter who says, "Tell me to come to you out on the water." What was going on in Peter's mind that wasn't going on in the other disciples' mind that Peter would say, "I want to do what you're doing, Jesus, 100%. Peter walks on water toward Jesus. And what do you think was in the minds of the disciples when Peter says, "Lord, tell me to come to you," and begins to walk out on the water? What was going on in the minds of the disciples? Were they jealous? Were they saying, "Why didn't I think of that? Why wasn't I the one to think about doing that? What's wrong with me? What's with this Peter guy that seems to be ahead of me in faith? Peter is doing what I should be doing." The other 11 didn't even think of stepping out on faith. But in Peter's mind, he's connecting all the dots, and he says, "I want to do what Jesus is doing." Peter's the only one who tries. Peter's the only one who fails. And interesting, Peter is the only one who gets chastised by Jesus. Wouldn't it be a little bit more fair if Jesus said to the 11, other 11, "You of little faith"? But no, he turns and says to Peter, the one who actually tries, steps out, and actually fails, "You of little faith." The other 11 didn't even have it in their mind. So my prayer this morning is that the Spirit of Jesus would speak to all of us, all of you, and that in your minds, in your hearts, that this faith of Peter would begin to erupt in your mind, and you would be thinking of different ways that God has been challenging you to step out in faith, step out, and that God's Spirit would move in you to begin working towards the things that He is putting in your heart, to move there without fear, to move there failing possibly like Peter, but still free to truly follow Jesus. Amen. Our next story is Nonsense Man. After 6 days, okay, now that we know what Peter's like, watch this. You're going to see it again. So after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother James, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and the clothes became as white as light. That's amazing. And then just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter says, what does he say? "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Who is it again that pipes up, dares to say something, but says the most ridiculous thing that doesn't make any sense? Now, have you ever met a famous person? One time I met, or our family, all 4 of us met Eugene Peterson. He's the one that wrote the Bible. No, I was kidding. He wrote the Message translation of the Bible. And I had read all of his books. I've been to 2 of his classes at Regent. But I, after knowing kind of everything that I knew and reading so many books, I was like Kevin Peterson Barkowski almost. But I didn't read the next 10 years. And so then like the last 10 years, I haven't read any of his books, and of course he's passed away. So we had lunch with him, and we were all talking, and then he said, so what do you think of my latest books? And then I was like, oh, actually I haven't read your latest books. And he goes, why not? And they said, well, because you kind of say the same thing. And I was like, why did I say that? I didn't mean it that way. Like, I just meant that. And then he was a bit, actually, I think he was offended. And then I was like, I can't believe this, like, of all the things to say. And this is like my hero, right? I know what he's going to say, but it's true. And so, and then he kind of said, yeah, that's true. I mean, we do kind of say the same things after a while. Anyway, that was so embarrassing. But I was glad. Like, I took the step of faith, and I even said some things, and I wasn't glad that I said it, but I was glad that we were there, and I was glad that I was talking to this person. If you had a chance to meet a famous person, not in the Bible, three famous people, like Peter did, who would it be that isn't a biblical character? Name at least one. Eric Clapton. Anyone else? Achoo. That's Sneezo Smith from, okay, just kidding. Who else? Anyone else have any people they, okay. Moses? Yeah, that's right. Well, the rules were non-biblical, but that's okay. You get an extra point because he spoke out, right? Just like Peter. Sorry? No, it doesn't have to be alive. It can be dead or alive. Oh, Shakespeare. Nice, yeah. Anyone else? John F. Kennedy? Oh, Michael J. Fox. Yeah, J.K. Rowling. Good. If I had the opportunity to meet three people at the same time, kind of Peter's idea, I would meet Napoleon, Joan of Arc, that's good, and Justin Bieber. Yeah, you know, those are, who would you choose? And what would you say to them, right? What would you say to them if you saw them? In Peter's culture, there couldn't be someone more famous than those three, right? You could not have someone more famous, more, you would not be more nervous than having these three people in front of you. And what does Peter do? He steps out in faith again. In this perfect moment, these three important people, he steps out in faith, this time with his voice, only to fail. Only to fail. How embarrassing, Peter. Why don't you just be quiet? Why don't you just stop it? You're embarrassing all of us. Instead of the first time there was 12 disciples, this time there's only three. And again, Peter steps out only to fail. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for Moses and one for Elijah. Doesn't make sense. This is the second time Peter steps out in faith to fail. My daughter, Kaden, is at Hillsong College, and one of her favorite professors, when he is asked to preach, he breaks out in a cold sweat. And he says, no, I refuse to speak in front of people. Speaking in front of people is, I could say the wrong thing, I feel nervous, I don't like it, I feel sick, I don't like what people think, I don't like that you've written this Bible, it's awkward, and these things that I'm going to tell people are going to offend them, I'm not going to do this. But then he begins to pray, and like Peter, he says, you know what, if Peter steps out in faith, if Peter's able to take a risk, even at the risk of himself looking dumb, even at the risk of him failing, Caden's professor says, okay, yes, God, I'll be obedient. I'll take this risk of faith. And maybe for you it's not speaking in front of people, but maybe it's that there's someone that God has put in your heart that you need to talk to. And maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a relative that you've been putting off because you've been nervous about what God has been putting on your heart to say. Will you be obedient to God's calling in your life, or will your pride get in the way? So far we've had two stories of Peter: walking on water, failing, transfiguration, failing. Peter's failures are highlighted. So why does God let us fail so miserably? And what did Peter learn in all his failures that enabled him to be such an amazing leader later on in life? So our third story, which also is leading us towards the Lord's Supper, communion. So Jesus is with the 12 disciples in the upper room, about to have the Lord's Supper, about to be arrested. Matthew 26. Then Jesus told them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And Peter replied, given how Peter's brain works and his track record, what do you think is going to happen? "Even if all fall away on you, on account of you, sorry, I never will. Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Peter, stop there. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. 30 verses later, only 30 verses later, I was thinking this morning, what are your 30 verses, you know, in life, right? That you make these promises to God, and then there's 30 verses later, something happens, and now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter fails again. First disciple to step out and claim, "I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Even if everyone else falls away, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm never going to abandon you." And Peter, of course, is the first to fail. And Peter weeps bitterly. Have you wept bitterly because of failure? And why does the Bible keep telling us about the failures of Peter? Wouldn't we be better off with success stories? Peter keeps taking these risks for Jesus, keeps stepping out in faith, and keeps failing miserably. Why does the Bible highlight this so many times? Because there is another option. There is another disciple. Judas Iscariot. Unlike Peter, Judas Iscariot, in Canadian standards, is a story of success. In the world's eyes, at least, Judas was in charge of the money. Judas has all the money in his pocket. Not only the money, Judas, the Bible tells us, was a political genius because he was able to negotiate with the teachers of the law and the leaders and the religious leaders in order to have Jesus arrested. So he's a political genius and he has all the money. And if I am honest in my life, and perhaps you are honest in your life, I often, and we often, look up to the ones who have all the money in their pocket. And they also are the ones that look up to these political geniuses, the ones that can negotiate, the ones that can make things happen that we thought could never happen, the ones that are able to take leaders and move them around and manipulate. These are the ones that we look up to. And in Canadian culture, the Peters, the ones that step out and try and fail, those are the ones that we do not even want to associate with. Those that stand up and talk about Jesus and say something wrong. Those who promise Jesus their entire lives but end up making mistakes. The Peters of the world, we don't want to be like them. But how could we get it so opposite? That we value Judas, if we were truly honest, and that we don't want to take risks, we want to stay safe, we want the money, we want to be eloquent, we want to be convincing, we want to be politically savvy, we want to be winning people to our ideals and ideas, but how could we change it? How could we turn it around so much that we value Judas and don't want to be like Peter? But in the end, of course, we all know the story that Judas betrays Jesus. And in the end, we do not want to be like Judas. And in the end, Peter was elevated by God and became the great leader of our church. Why? Because he played it safe. No, he didn't, right? He didn't at all. No, because Peter by far, even compared to the other 11, was willing to stretch out in faith constantly. He didn't care about looking foolish. He didn't care about being perfect. And he definitely did not care about how he looked to others. So if you want to be true... Oh, sorry. You can get that. No, sorry. Sorry, don't want to embarrass you, but that's fine. If your phone rings while I talk, that's okay. If you want to be truly free as a follower of Jesus, if you want to be truly free as a church, if you want to be truly free as a parent or a leader, then we need to be like Jesus in creating an environment that allows other people to fail, where we don't judge them and that we allow them to give or allow them to have second chances. And I think one thing the stories I've heard about Living Hope is how amazing you truly are at giving people second chances, allowing people to fail, and trusting that Jesus is working in people's lives. And coming along beside people. That you guys are truly amazing, and God's Spirit is moving in Living Hope. I see that all the time when I hear stories. Jesus is calling you to follow him, the way Peter followed him, to step out in faith, to not care about what other people think. I love how when Jesus, the next day after his resurrection, he was at the beach, like a lot of people are from Living Hope right now. No, it's kidding. Jesus is at the beach, and Peter, he sees Peter, right? And what does he say to Peter? He says to Peter the best words you could hear in an entire world. The best thing that anyone could hear. Peter hears the greatest words that anyone could ever hear. Because Jesus says to him, follow me. Follow me. The failure was left behind. There's kingdom work to do here, Peter. There's eternal life to enjoy here, Peter. Let's get moving on this. Let's not let your failure define who you are. And let's not let other people's failures define who they are. Romans 8, 15 and 16. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? So my prayer for you as a church and you as individuals, as we move towards the Lord's Supper, that you will choose to follow Jesus the way Peter followed Jesus. Not the way the other 11 followed Jesus, not the way that Judas Iscariot was, but that you would follow Jesus the way that Peter followed Jesus. Walks on the water, in step with Jesus, even failing, because success and failure is really up to God, isn't it? And whether we or you succeed or not, whether you fail or not, that's not the issue. Jesus invites you to step out in faith. My oldest daughter, 3 years ago, flew off to Australia to go to Hillsong College. And she had worked a year and a half to save up money so she could go there. And she's really excited about it. And but the first day, here she was halfway across the world, she calls me. Dad, I hate it here. I hate it here. I want to come home. And I didn't know what to say, but I think the Spirit of Jesus gave me a good word to say to her. And I said, Caden, I hear you. I'll tell you what. This is what we'll do. We'll buy a ticket for you in 2 weeks to come back home. So just know that in 2 weeks, you're going to come back home. But while you're there for this next 2 weeks, you have to have the best time ever. You're in this place you've always wanted to be. Just remember you're coming back in 2 weeks and just meet people and sing and dance and have an amazing time and get to know these amazing Bible preachers and you just party, not like Christian party, right? Not the party, like the way the Christians party. Like have fun, have an amazing time, right? And so she said, okay, I'll do that. And I said, in 2 weeks, anytime you think that you're gonna not like, you're not having fun, just remember you're coming back in 2 weeks, so just have a great time. It's a great holiday. And so she said, okay, fine, let's do that. So in 2 weeks, unfortunately for me, but fortunately for her, she said, Dad, I'm just having the best time ever. I'm just enjoying myself so much. I'm staying. I'm going to stay. And I was so relieved and I was sad, of course, because like, I want to come back. You're not supposed to be halfway around the world. But in the other level, I was like, yes. And I think, you think about what Peter did, right? Peter was like, I'm all in. I'm going to be like Christian party in my life. And I'm just going to go on. And that makes an amazing difference. That's how we can live our lives fully for Christ. So maybe God is calling you. There's something that you need to say to someone. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe Jesus is calling you to pare back relationships in your life that make you compromise your values. Maybe you need to eliminate things in your life or people that are causing you stress, and you need to say something to them. We are inviting Jesus to stretch us into something deeper, something truth-telling, something more intimate, a new voice, and a new calling. And so I want to close, and I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I want to follow you like Peter. I want to give my all to you. I want to take risks for you. I want to be free to fail so I can be free to truly live. In Jesus' name, amen.